Okay, right, so today's daf is daf Samach Zayin, and we're holding at the very top of Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara begins, Gilgul Hegdish Poiter. We are in the middle of a Memra, or a Psak Halacha, really, of Rava. Where did Rava begin? If you go back to Samach Vav Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, 12 lines. Amud Rava Pshitali, the Miruach Hegdish is Poiter, Vafilir of Akiva. What is this all about? We already discussed this briefly in our Mishnah. We were talking about the residuary, the remainders of the flour that had been brought for purposes of the Karban or Omer. We only used one Isaroi, and we had all of the rest of it, which was three Sa'a or five Sa'a, minus that Isaroi. All of the rest of it was not used for the Karban or Omer. Isn't that Shirayim? Shirayim is after you take out the kmitza, whatever left over, that goes to the kahan. This is not shirayim. This was the original three so or five so, depending during the week on Shabbos, depending which month the yomar, and you only had from that large amount after the 13 siftings, menupa b'shalosh esrei napa, we had left all of that huge quantity of flour. What did they do with it? So the Mishnah said that they would be poided, and then nechal lechol adam, and there was a machloikis legabe hilchois chala and hilchois trumas and maestris. When it comes to chala, kuli al mamoida, that both the Tanakam and Rabbi Kiva, you have to go and be mafresh chala. The reason why you have to be mafresh chala is because by the time that they were baking this leftover flour into whatever they were baking from it, that time it already belonged to regular, normal Eden, as opposed to belonging to Hegdish. Well, and therefore, when does the Chi of Chala come on? At the time of the Lisha, or the Gemara is going to call it shortly the time of the Gilgal. Gilgal means when you are taking the dough and fashioning it into your final product. At that time, it already belonged to regular individuals, regular in the sense, not to Hegdish. So, of course, Mechuya B'Chala, no machloikis between the Tanakama and Rebbe Kiva. The machloikas v'legabei, they have to go mimafresh trumais or maisris or not from this new tvua, which is being used to go and manufacture chalas, matzahs, or what have you. Obviously not chometz, because we're talking about in the middle of Pesach. Well, you could theoretically leave the flour until after Pesach. Fine. Anyway, so what was the machloikas in our Mishnah? The Tanakhama said that you are potter from giving trumais or maisris. Rebbe Kiva said, no, you're machuyev in giving trumas and maestras. What was the basis of the machlokes? When does the chiyuv of trumas and maestras get triggered by any new tvua, any new peiros? Gets triggered at the moment of miruach. What means miruach? Miruach is what we call the gemar malacha. You're now finished in processing your initial tvua or your initial peiros. You put them on a very large heap. You smooth it out on the top. And that has the status, and that's what's called miruach. At that moment, boom, the chiyuv of trumas and maestras hits. Okay, so who owned it at that time? At that time, chayre, the miruach took place when the kahanim, or whoever was in charge of doing the ktsiras oimer, preparing the oimer to go and make from it the korban oimer, because that was the processing from the time of the cutting until eventually making the flour. So then the miruach occurred and it was done under the auspices of Hegdish. So now the question is, miruach Hegdish, is that chai b'trumas amaisus or potter in trumas amaisus? Initially we said yesterday, that's the machloikis between the Tanakhama of our Mishnah and Rabbi Kiva. That Rabbi Kiva holds that miruach Hegdish is chayiv, even though the miruach was not done by a private individual, miruach hegdish is chayiv. The Gemara eventually fell away from that. The Gemara said, no, no, no. And that's what Rava said, pshitli. Everybody agrees that if the miruach on this tvua, on this barley, was done when the barley was owned by hegdish, which was the case over here, then you're parted from giving trumas and maestras. Why does Rabbi Kiva say in the Mishnah that you have to go and give? Because leinitnu mo'is el letzoyrech lohem, meaning when they originally brought the three or the five saw, it was never intended that the three or the five saw are going to be brought for the carbon oimer. Only a small percentage, like 10% or less, was going to be used for the carbon oimer. What was the rest going to be used for? Everybody knew that it was going to go and be podoy and used by Bnei Adam. And so therefore, the original intention was like a Yesh Breira situation. You have this large five saw or three saw, and you look at it and you know that only a small percentage is going to be used for the Korban Oimah, the rest of it is going to be used by regular Bnei Adam. So that being the case, with Rabbi Akiva said, you have to go and give Trumas Maisus. Okay, so that was the background. Bottom line, what did Rava Paskin? Rava Paskin, the Gabi Meruach Hegdish, everybody holds Patur. What is the basis? We're going to have a Pasuk shortly in the Gemara. Then Rava continued on. What about Meruach Oivid Kechavim? You had a non-Jewish farmer living in Eretz Yisrael. He did the harvesting, and then he did the winnowing, and he did all the other melachas, and he did a Meruach, meaning he smoothed it all out, and everybody says, okay, now that's the Gemara, that's the Meruach. Are you mechuyev to go and give Trumas HaMaisus? Obviously, the Goy doesn't have to give Trumas HaMaisus. He doesn't have, it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, and he doesn't have Tarryag Mitzvahs. However, I, the Jew, if I buy it from this Goy, do I have to give Trumas HaMaisus? And that we had a Machloikis yesterday in the Braisa, whether or not, if the Goy was the one that did the Meruach, is it Mechuyev B'Trumas HaMaisus? Yes or no? Machlekes Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, who said yes, the Meruach Oivid Kechavim is Mechayev B'Trumas HaMaisus. And Rabbi Yosef Shimon said no, it is Potter. What's the basis? We'll see in the Gemara shortly. So Kum Techais, when it comes to Gabi Meruach, Gabi Trumas HaMaisus, Kuli Alma Moida, that Hegdish, Meruach Hegdish is Potter. Meruach Oivid Kechavim is a Machlekes. Now let's get to Gilgal Hegdish at the top of the Yomid. Gilgal Hegdish now means we're talking about Hilchos Chal. And the word Gilgal, you should look upon as being Lisha. Lisha is the knating, the kneading, and the processing of the dough, and eventually making out of it whatever you're cooking, whatever you're baking. Okay, so if Gilgal is being done by Hegdish, once again under the auspices of the Beis HaMikdash, then it's Poiter, Poiter Min HaChal. How do I know that? Nani chab de chamisha to Mishnah in Masechtes Chala, which is where you would expect to find the Mishnah. Hegdisha isasa actually Gilgala upadasa chayevis. Misha Gilgala upadasa chayevis. Hegdisha actually Gilgala veGilgala haGizbar veYachka upadasa is petura. Shebishas chayvasa hoyse petura. Here once again you have to go and take a picture, if you will, at the moment of the triggering of the chiyuv. The gabi trumas HaMaisus, the miruach, was the trigger. Here, the gabi chala, it's the gilgul. Gilgul is that kneading of the dough. Until that moment, there was no chala requirement. Let's go back to the Mishnah, top of the Yomid. Not Higdisha Isa. So you have a private lady, for instance, that was now fashioning. She wanted to go and take her Isa, and she wanted to be makdishit. So in fact, that's what she did. Hegdish is sasa. Achla Gilgala, before she started doing the Lisha. So how is it called Isa if she didn't start doing the Gilgal? And the answer is, the Isa over here means that we already had our big kneading basin. In that kneading basin, she already poured in the flour. She already poured in the water. And the two together are starting to be Meshadach, start to be Matzah Minis Minoy. However, she hasn't started that Gilgal of the actual kneading yet. And now she's Makdashin. Actually Gilgal. Before that Gilgal. And then Upadasa. And then she was Poideit. Then she is Chayevis. Chayevis means she has to go and give the Challah. What's the reason why? Because she was Makdashin. Achaloy Gilgal. Before she started going and doing the Gilgal. That's when she was Makdashin. Even before she did the Gilgal, she changed her mind, Upadasa, and she was Poideit. So now this is a lady that is kind of given to quick actions. And what did she do? She initially was, Makdishit. Oh, it belonged to Hegdish. But before she was Megalgal, before she started doing that kneading, Upadasa, she was Poideit. So they were at the moment of the actual Gilgal, it was no longer in the property under the jurisdiction of Hegdish. Just like she was Makdish, she went and she was Poyed. She turned on the lights, but she turned off the lights before she actually started the Gilgal. So then, of course, Chayev, it's a Dovah Pashit, that she is chayiv. Why? Because at the moment of Gilgal, it belonged to the private individual and not to Hegdash. Similarly, and this is really zu ve'ein tzorach loymezu, misha Gilgala, what happened if she was makdashit after she was megalgalit already? In other words, she put the ingredients in the basin, she started doing her Gilgal, started doing her lisha, her knating, and then after that, when she was finished, upadas, and now she was poided. So what happened over here? She was makdash the isa misha Gilgala. The first case was Achla Gilgala. Now she's being makdash at misha Gilgala. So she had already done the whole kneading process, and then she says, "You know what? I'd like to go and give this to Hegdash." And now she was makdash it, and now she was poided.
Because she kneaded the dough.
She kneaded the dough.
She kneaded the dough.
She kneaded the dough. Very good. But then she's paying over the dough instead of kneading the dough.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, so misha Gilgala. So once again, Higdisha Isasa, one with Shimakdashit, Misha Gilgula, after the Lisha already took place. So now, it was already Mechuyiv Bechala before she made it into Hegdish. Upadasa, and now she was Paidit. Chayabas. Then she's Chayabit, so it's a Dvorim Pshutim Oid, because after all, she was only Makdashit after the Lisha, after the Gilgula. Chayabas. What happens, Higdisha, Achla Gilgula? The Gilgula gives what? Biyakach Bedosa? Oh. She was makdashit before the Gilgal took place. The ingredients are in the wash, in the kneading basin. And now she says, you know what? What I'd like to do is give this to the Gizbar, the base makdash. She calls up the Gizbar, and the Gizbar says, that's fine, we're happy to go and take donations, especially of donations of dough. And they gave, and she handed it over to the Gizbar, and then the Gizbar, or the people in charge at the base makdash, the employees, they went and did the whole Gilgal. And after they're finished, and they're ready to go and put this into the oven, and she comes back and says, you know what? I changed my mind. I'd like to go and take it back. And now she's poided. What's the story now? Petura, you do not have to give challah. Shebishas chivosa. When did the chivi get triggered at the time of the Gilgal? Petura, at that moment it belonged to Hegdish. That's why we started off the daf. At the top of the omid, Gilgal, Hegdish is poited. That's a liba de kuliyam. So, kum tochai. So far, we've covered three.
Can you give Hegdash his patur?
Sorry, once again.
If it belongs to Hegdash, his patur.
Correct. Gilgal at the time it belonged to Hegdash at the time of the kneading, you're patur from having to go and give chal. So, when we started off today, we said the gabi the maestris. If it happens to be the miruach of Hegdash, everybody agrees patur. When it comes to miruach of oivdei kechavim, there we had a machlokes. Now we spoke about the Gilgal of Hegdash, everybody agrees, part. Boy, Rava said, now that we've covered those three subjects, I'm on to subject number four. What about Gilgal Oivei Kechavin Mai? What happens if, at the time of the Gilgal of the connecting, the kneading, the lisha of the dough, it belonged to the Goy at that moment? Are you Mechuyiv in Chala or not Mechuyiv in Chala? Mr. Tanan, there's a Mishnah directly on point. A Mishnah again, a Masechtas Chala. What does it say? Gershin is Gaya. You had a person who was previously a Gentile, and he was Magaya. V'hoisa lo isa. And he was a baker. I don't know if he was a professional baker or an amateur baker, but he was baking. And Nasa Adshalin is Gaya. This isa, the kneading and all that, took place before he became a get. In fact, maybe the reason why he was preparing it is this was going to be a Chala at his Gior, Seuza, everybody celebrating that he has now joined Klal Yisrael. But at this moment, he was still a Goy. Ha'isala Isa, before he became a Ger, actually in his guy. Then it's Potter. Then the kneading of the dough was not Mechayev anything, because he was a Goy, like any Goy today or any time in history. We're not at the Machlokes yet. At the moment, we're talking about Challah. Before we spoke about the Gabi Miruach, the Gabi Trumas, the Maestris, there was a Machlokes. Now we're talking about Gilgal Gabi Hilchis Chala. The Mishnah is very, very direct, and the Mishnah says if the Chala was needed by a Goy, or that it belonged to the Goy, Potter, you do not have to give Chala, even though 10 minutes later he goes to the mikveh, he's Megayer, off the hook, you don't have to give Chala. However, Mishnah is Gayer, if that same Ger did the kneading of the dough after he became a Ger, so just like any Jew, then of course he's chayiv. That's a double poshut. The Mishnah continues. What happens if he's a Sofik? In other words, he is preparing to go and either be mekabel mitzvahs or jump in the mikvah or whatever. And I'm not sure he forgets, did he make the Isa before he became Jewish, or did he get the Isa post becoming Jewish? Since the chiyuv of giving challah is deraisa, so sofik is chayiv. It's a sofik deraisa lechumra. So this very straightforward Mishnah. What is Rava's shayla now? Rava wants to know who is the balabus, who is the author of this Mishnah. Zukti Mara, Zukti Rava now. Ha man kitanila. Who is the man diomar, the tana of this Mishnah? Do you say it's divri hakoyli? Everybody agrees that the Lisha, the Gilgal and Oivik Echavim, is potter, like it says in this Mishnah. Even the Ramei of Rabbi Yehuda on the Umid Beis, when it came to Miruach Hegdish, they were Mechayiv on the Miruach of Oivik Echavim. They were Mechayiv. That could be here, the Gabe, the Gilgal of Oivik Echavim. Maybe they hold Patri. Why would I say that? Nochamon. Why would I say that? Not based on Svara, but based on Psukim. Hosam hu dechsiv. When you're talking about the Dogon, now this Dogon, the Diskoncha, is talking about the Miruach, the Trumais Umaisris. And the Gemara tells us, it says, the Goncha, Yisera, have a miyat, acha miyat, vein miyat, acha miyat, el rabbis, afilo evdekachavim. You know why Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda said that the miruach of an oivdei kechavim is mechayim in trumas and maestros, because the word degoncha is repeated twice. Now this is a little bit misleading, because in fact it says degoncha three times. Really? Right. How do I know that? Rashi brings the three times. If you want to look at the Rashi, at times can get a little confusing because there's a change of the gersoyis on almost every line, but we'll learn it as Levi Sishtai. Hossam, which is about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, Zotrashi. Hainu tamba b'miruach oivik kechovim einoi paiter. What's the reason why Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that when it comes to miruach, that's the trumas and maestros of yesterday, why do they hold that it's chayim? Mishum, because of the fact that it says altogether three times the gancha. If you look at here on my Gemara, there's a ches, the trey the gancha. You look at Maseres Hashas, he corrects it, the Tlosa the gancha. He brings that from the Sefer, Tzoyin Kudisha. But you'll see Rashi, in fact, enumerates it, so it'll become crystal clear. What are the three Degonchas? Ksiv. Dechsiv. One pasuk is, Leisucha Lecho Bisharecha, Maser Degoncha, Tiroishcha Vietzerecha. Oh, so that's one word, Degoncha. And it's talking about Trumas Amaisus. Maser Degoncha. Uksiv, and I have another pasuk. Also, I have two degonchas. Uksiv, and I have now number three. Reishis degoncha tiroishcha v'yitzarecha. Reishis tein goyischa titen lai. So again, I have now three degonchas. What do I use the three degonchas for? Number one degoncha is lemelev diguncha v'loy digun hegdish. To tell you, one of you mechuyiv to go and give trumas and maestris only if the miruach was done diguncha. You were the one that processed it, and you did the miruach, and you triggered the chi of trumas and maestros. However, if at that moment it belonged to Hegdish, that's not digon cha, that's digon Hegdish. And therefore, you are potter on the digon Hegdish. Miruach Hegdish, on the other hand, that's the digon Hegdish again means miruach Hegdish, and that's why Rav started off pshitali miruach Hegdish, you're potter. Now I have the remaining two, and that's what Rashi says. Ayat lehu trade the gancha. Now that I've used the first gancha to go and exclude digun hegdish, I got two left. What do I do with those two that are left? Number one is lemayit digun oivik echavim, and the second one will also be lemayit digun oivik echavim. So I have now two ganchas, both using the same word gancha to exclude the miruach of a Gentile. So why do Rameir and Behuda hold that the digun, the miruach of a Gentile is chayiv? Because since it says goncha twice, have a mi'at ha-mi'at. Mi'at ha-mi'at, le'trei kroi, me'maitilei, and therefore a mi'at ha-mi'at, elo le'rabois. And so therefore, zokt yetz Rava, since we said already, that the three times the word digoncha. And since I learned from the first digoncha that miruach hegdish is potter, well, that's digoncha v'loy digon hegdish. That's how Rabbi began. Pshitalim ruach hegdish is potter. What about those other two mandi yamrim? Those are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda legabi hilchois miruach akum. What do they hold at your chayv? Why? Because it says digoncha twice. Another two digonchas. A miyut acha miyut el rabbis. So all of that is great for yesterday's Gemara. Now I know the makoyer of the halacha, the miruach hegdish is potter, because the goncha v'loy digan hegdish. And I also know the makoyer of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that they say that miruach of a goy is chayiv because a miyut acha miyut el rabbis. So afiloy digan. That is all the gavi miruach. That's true misamaisis. Aval hacha. We're talking about the din of Gilgul Oyvei Kechavim. That is the leash of the Chiyav of Chala. Avalocha Trezimni Arisoy Seichem Ksiv. It says two times that you have to go and give Chala from Arisoy Seichem. Now, you might start thinking to yourself, no, so you have two Arisoy Seichem. Arisoy Seichem Veloi Isas Oyvei Kechavim. Arisoy Seichem Veloi Isas Oyvei Kechavim. So now I have again a Miut Acha Miut El the Rabbis. Says, no. Because I need each one of these. To go and tell you what is the shear, the minimum shear that is machayev on chala. The minimum shear is kedei isa. What is a kedei isa? The Torah doesn't really, more it doesn't spell it out over here. However, in the parasha which talks about chala, it talks about, I actually learned it from the halacha of the month, and by the month it says that they went and collected every single day, and oimer echad amar b'viyechad amam collected an oimer, and that oimer was considered to be what you needed for the family for a given day, and that is the shear that they used to use for baking, and b'oimer asira so that we know from the parasha of carbon oimer, we know now from that the minimum that you need to give chala from if you have an isa, which is the shear that Arisa Seichem could be the shear of Isascha. So I need that first pasuk to go and tell you the shear. Now I have the second one, V'chad Arisa Seichem, V'lay Isa V'chavim, and if I only have one extra Arisa Seichem, I don't have Miut Acha Miut L'Rabbis, I only have one. So in Arisa Seichem I learned, it's got to be your Isa, the private Jew's Isa, and not that of a Gentile, V'lay Isa Segdish, and not Hegdish either. Aha. Okay, so with the Gemara now, is concluding is the first tzad of Rava's Shaila. What was Rava's Shaila? Rava's Shaila is, what's the din by Gilgul Oyvei Kechavim? Is it Chayiv Upotter from Chala? I have a Beferish, a Mishnah that says that the Goy before he became a Ger is Potter, so that's crystal clear. The question is, who is the Mandiyama? Who's the Tana of that Mishnah? Is the Tana the same as Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of yesterday, who were mechayev b'miruach oydik kechavim? Or does it go according to Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon of yesterday that said that a goy is potter by miruach, that there is no chiyuv trumas amaisis by miruach oydik kechavim? It would be much simpler to go and say that the two mishnayos are exactly aligned, and just like Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon said, regabi miruach oydik kechavim, you're potter, to say that Gilgul Oivdik Chum is Potter. That, in fact, is going to be the second Tzad. Continuing the Gemara, Idilma Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon Ketani Lo, the Kapatri, just like they Potter over there, they Potter over here. They Potter by Miruach Oivdik Chum, and they Potter by Gilgul Oivdik Chum. And if you're going to go and say that means that Mishnah, Masechtas Chala, is only Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon, Avod of Rabbi Reb Yehuda, they could be that they continue to learn in both cases chayiv. So bottom line, Rabbi Sai, when it comes to miruach oivdik chavim, there's a clear cut machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda on one side, goy mechuyev in miruach, in other words, trumas amaisers, and Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon on the other side, no, you're potter. The question now is, we are migalgal milza. Do we now go and extrapolate from there the same halacha legabe the lisha legabe hilchos chala? According to the second tzad, it would be very simple to go and say that just like Rav Meir Yehuda said yesterday, Gavin Miruach Oivdik Chavim, you're chayv. Today, Lisha or Gilgul Oivdik Chavim is chayv. And Rav Yosef Reb Shimon that said yesterday that your potter would say the same thing over here. But it could be that this is not just based on Mamatzina's mitzvahs, probably, da 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 da. It's based on Psukim. And therefore, yesterday we had three times the Gancha altogether. And the latter two, the Ganchas come to tell you, oh, that's why Remei Rabbi Yehuda held that you're chai b'miruach oivdikachom. However, today I don't have such an extra digoncha. To the contrary, I only have one arisa seichem, that only if it's your isa are you mechuyev to go and give challah. Is a chmashma that isa of a goy you'd be potter. So it could be that today even Remeir Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're a potter. And that's why Remeir starts off. Perhaps that Mishnah is a l'kuli alma divrei hakoyli v'afal Remeir Rabbi Yehuda. That was the first side. Or the second side is no. The same Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon of yesterday that patered yesterday, they're the ones that patered today. And therefore, a may of Rabbi Yehuda that said, we're machayiv yesterday, are machayiv today. I was mitipsukim, Zokti Yomara, it could be our may of Rabbi Yehuda, gamri rachis, rachis, may hasam. They have a gzeira shava of the word rachis. What did it say rachis? One of the digonchas that we said was, rachis digoncha tiroishcha v'yitzarecha, for rachis geis tzoin, Titanloi, those are the matonis that you go give to the Koyin. Rashis means the truma, and the geis toin is rashis, I guess. But it says over there the word rashis. And here when it comes to chala, it says, rashis ariso yiseichem, chala terimus ruma. Oh, so you have to go and give chala from the rashis. So I have rashis, rashis. So just like we said yesterday, that according to Remei Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayiv, amiruach, evdikachavim. So maybe you're also chayiv on the leash of Ayvatik HaChavim because of the rachis, rachis may hasam.
We had the word degancha below dagan shel chaydash, but when we get to arisa sechem lo isas chaydash lo isas of rakam isas chaydash. Why do we have two miutim, two exclusions? By the arisa, by the challah situation, and only one exclusion by the meruach situation. Mm-hmm. If you can say two exclusions by one, why can't you say it by both? It feels like there's a, and then we have a mute and another mute, and then we're adding it back in. It feels it's not consistent.
Okay, so in fact, you have the Tosfos, which begins Chala Arisa Seichem, delves much more into these issues. You'll see in the very first wide line, Vim Toyme Dehocha Boi Treikroi. Here, in one case, you need two, Chala Vichom Chala Hegdish, Chem Gam Yeruach. But over there, you're using one Arisa Seichem, Lamayit, both Vichom and
Hegdish. Right, exactly.
Exactly. So Tosfos goes into that. He goes back and forth from different Gemaras, different Psukim. You have to review all of that, but he focuses on your issue. You're very welcome. Getting now back to our Gemara, so now Rav is, if you will, has a major quandary. I need to know who is the Mechaber, who is the Tana of that Mishnah Masechtas Challah. Does it go according to everybody, that is Remei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon, or does it only go according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon, who patered yesterday, they patter again today? Rav was, if you will, at his wit's end, and Omerovi Heirava. Heirava means Hiratzoin, the Achsei Bechalma, that I should go and see the answer to this quandary in my Chaloimus. In other words, apparently, based on all of my analysis, I haven't come to a conclusion. Halavai, when I go to sleep, maybe a Malach will come and insert in a dream how do I understand that Mishnah? Is it Devi HaKoil, or is it totally in the same Machloikis of yesterday? This is what Rava said initially. Apparently, a few nights passed, and he did not get the benefit of any revelations during his dreams. Hada Amar Rava, so when finally Rava said, you know what? I thought about it, I analyzed it, and I'm going to go and tell you, each one is Lishi Tosai. The man, the Amar Meruach Evikham Poiter, he also holds Gil Evikham Poiter. O man, the Amar Meruach Evikham Eina Poiter, he'll hold the Gil Evikham Eina Poiter. He doesn't tell us what the basis of, but presumably it's based on the same analysis we said before. In other words, just like we had that Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that you're chayiv by miruach because of the double digoncha ein miut achamiut el rabbis, and then I have the rachis rachis. So rachis rachis tells me the same halacha that applies lagabi miruach also applies lagabi the hilchos chala exactly the same. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon that disagreed yesterday, and they apparently don't hold us ein mita me'al el rabbis, and therefore they hold that it's taka potter because it says digon chavloi digon So they hold the same thing over here.
If it doesn't expressly say that they, that there's a minority, it's an opinion of two and not a divrei kol, how can you assert that? Well, it's divrei kol. I mean, if the Mishnah here is saying explicitly, this is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, mm-hmm. and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi disagree, mm-hmm. and here it's silent, mm-hmm. why are you asserting that if the Mishnah, if Rabbi codified it that way, then he's saying it, so it's a dispute.
That's what you can go and say, like, Machloek Zeach Kach Stam. But Machloek Zeach Kach Stam, if it would be exactly on all four, is the same case. Here we're talking, going from the case of Meruach to the case of Lisha. But nevertheless, your point is, if there's a Machloekus over here, and there's no Machloekus over there, wouldn't that suggest
there's no Machloekus over there?
Or it could be Rabbeinu HaKodesh realized that all the people that are learning the Mishnah will know the reason that there's a Machloekus, and he figures, I don't have to
just
go and
read it,
and after that, everybody will understand that what I'm saying over there is only according to those two and not according to the other two Tanaim. But regardless, because the Gemara is now going to ask two very strong kashas on Rava. Rava didn't bring a buffet to Sharia. He just said, it makes sense logically.
Feels right.
Yeah, feels right. Oh, very good. So Gemar now asks two very stark kashas. Kasha number one. Eisrei rapop l'rapop. Oivik echom shehifrish petach hamor v'chala. You have a very frum oivik echom. Maybe it's like the evangelicals today who are very, very frum goyim, especially when it comes to anything having to do with Eretz Yisrael and Yidden, etc. Anyway, so what do they? You have this goy who is such a frimmer, Hifrish Petach Hamor. He had a brand new Petach Hamor born to his Chamoyrim Eder, and he decided, I was once at a ceremony where they gave a Petach Hamor over to the Koyin, and they said, hold tefillah, and they brought a seh. I was so overwhelmed, I think this is such a wonderful idea, and the goy, he went and did a Hafrashis Petach Hamor, and took the seh, willing to give it to the Koyin.
I thought he decapitated it.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, so Eivik Chomish gave a Petach Hamor, as well as challah. He made a whole isa, more than 5 pounds of flour, and he took that challah, and he gave it to the Kohen. So we go over to him, we tell him very nicely, very respectfully, Mr. McGillicuddy, what you did is so nice, and it's really such a refinement of character. The Medin Oisei Shuhu Potter, he did not have to go and give that seh to the Kohen to pata the chamar, and the chalosoi necheles lezorim, we essentially pull the rug out from under him, and we tell him what you did is very nice and very charitable and very meaningful, but you should know you were potter on both, and therefore this challah does not have to be eaten dafka by the kahanim; it can be eaten by anybody, as well as this seh that you're not supposed to now do normally giza b'avoida because you've given over. This is gunish mit gunish. Nothing happened. Nothing. That also stated on the brisa. Now, in this brisa, we are leaving out one major hafrosha that we could have spoken about. Because after all, how often do you get a petach hamor? It's not, you know, not a daily event. So why didn't the brisa go and say, we go and tell him, this truma does not belong to the kohen. You can eat it even lezara. The maizus you don't have to give to the levi, you don't have to go up to Yerushalayim, you don't have to give to the aniyim. It's all regular chulun. Why didn't we say that? See, more difference. Medayik hatrumasoi asura. The truma, in fact, would be effective truma, even though the petach hamor and the challah was not effective, but the truma was effective. That's takim achuyev. Who's the one that holds that? That was Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda of yesterday. And nevertheless, they hold the Gilgai B'chavim is poiter, is potter. That's the Tashtetuch B'feirish, that the Chala is potter. So therefore, we see that Rava L'chayre is incorrect. That even though the two of yesterday, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they hold the Meruch Avikachavim is Chayiv, but they hold that the Gilgal Avikachavim is potter.
But once again, it's silent as to who the author of this is. We're imputing it. We're asserting it.
100%. But how did Rava conclude? Rava concluded
Chayiv there, you're potter there.
Okay, so who is the one that holds Chayiv in one case and potter in the other case? Nobody holds that way. Because if you hold chayiv in one, then you hold chayiv across the board. If you hold potter in one, it's potter across the board. So this Mishnah, or this Braisa, doesn't seem like Rav Meir Rav Yehuda, doesn't seem like Rav Yisrael Rav Shimon. Now, of course, if you can go and show me from somewhere else that there's a Rav Lezer, or Rav Yishmael, or Rav Yehuda ben Beseir, or somebody else that also expresses a view, then we would bring him. But we don't have anybody that discusses this issue, except for these four tonight. And therefore, the Chayyur Rav is totally ungefrecht, because I find that somebody holds kosher here and non-kosher there, or mechuyev here and potter there.
Is this the time of Rachel that he's listing everything? So why are we?
Because that's why he made a shtickle hagdama.
Okay.
And then why would the Braisa focus on a case
of Petra Chomor and Chal? Something infrequent.
Exactly. Chal comes every day of the week, right? Anytime you're baking.
Petra Chomor once in the Yovel.
If ever.
Right.
When's the last time you attended a Pindyat HaBen? Doesn't happen frequently, but yeah.
36 years ago.
It's hysterical. Even cousins.
There's a story about that. But anyway, but Pidyon HaBen is a rare situation.
Yes. Yeah.
But you've been there 37. When's the last time you had a Pidyon Petach Hamor?
Never.
Okay, so you answered your question. So why would we even talk about an Oyvik Chavim going to be Potter? Who has a Petach Hamor to talk about? But Truvas Mais is a not a daily event, but it's an annual event. So why wouldn't we talk about that?
I'd walk a mile for a camel.
For a camel.
Or the cigarette.
Okay, very good. Beautiful. Anyway, I thought you were going to tell us about the story of Ramosha with the pigeon of Ben.
What's this? Okay, you got to stop now.
Everything is fine. There was a fellow in Chicago. Anyway, so he, Baruch Hashem, he was ocher to a child, and he's making a pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is such a rare occasion. And therefore he calls up Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal from New York, please come over, it's a tremendous mitzvah, a tremendous simcha, pidyon HaBen. Rav Moshe said, ichol kumen, fine. So he came. Then the Baal Simcha, in the middle of the pidyon HaBen, gets up and he says, Rabbi Yisai, I'd like to say a few words. So he gets up and says, everybody tells me the same thing, that it was zochet to such a rare mitzvah. After all, when's the last time you went to Pidyon HaBen? It's so rare. If it's a son of a Levi, a son of a Kohen, if that girl was born first, if it's a Kaiserschnitt, a C-section, it's so rare. So everybody asked me why I was zochet to this mitzvah. So I have to go and tell you, Rabbi Yisai, it's not in my own schus. I'm not zochet. However, the schus man elter zeta. Who is my Elter Zayde? My Elter Zayde was a goy in the Godel Bisrael. He was the Kol Arya. The Kol Arya was the Ruv of Derekzaz, tremendous Talmud Chochem. I'm a Ben Acher Ben, all in his schus, that's why I was Eichet to Pinyin Ben. So Rav Moshe says, Entschuldigung, was it? Duchzach mir, as the Kol Arya is Gevezen Akeya. And if you're a Ben Acher Ben, how will you make
your Pacha from Pinyin Ben?
By the way, as an aside, our Pinky Schwartz lives here in the neighborhood. He's a Ben Achben of the Kol Arya, and therefore Kol Arya's name was Schwartz, and you have hundreds of Schwartzes all over the country. Anyway, so how can you make a Pinky Ben? He said, Rabbi Feinstein, please do me a favor. Don't ruin the Simcha. This is my minig in my family. This is the way I did it with my first son. And this. I always make a Pinky Ben.
Why did this? Is this a real story? Why did Rabbi?
When I heard it the first time, I thought it was real. Every time I repeat, I think it's more apocryphal. But it's a nice story. You see, everybody had a good laugh.
I made a pidyon HaBen.
Baruch Hashem, you should make only many more simchas.
37
years ago.
What?
37 years ago.
Yeah,
1989. So
mention with your einik lach. I had one. My first einik was.
Yeah, you old. You had also. Okay. Anyway, so let me get invited. So the Gemara continues on. So we have one kasha on Rava. The oit noch a kasha. Eitz ve'rabin al Rava. Chalas oivik achavin ba'aretz. If you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're giving chala, or trumasi b'chutz laretz, or truma outside of Eretz Yisrael, ma'idi and oisai, we go and tell the goy chalas oivik achavin. We tell him again, like the previous mishnah said, like the previous price said. You know, he say shu potur. You did not have to go and give trumas and ma'isus. You did not have to give chala. All of that your potter, and therefore chalosin nechelas zorim, hand it over to zorim. You don't have to give it to a kohen; you can eat it yourself. Utrumasay ainam medamas. In other words, the truma was not effective to go and be medamei in case it got mixed in with chulin. Says gunish mitgunish. Okay, so that's very clear. The only thing that is unclear: why does it say in the price of trumasay bechutz laaretz? Who gives truma chutz laaretz? Okay, there was a period of time after the Chorm that next to Eretz Yisrael in Bavel and similar places, Syria. They instituted Syria, Assyria, whatever. They instituted that once you give Trumas and Maisa, that one shouldn't forget about it, because unfortunately we were in Golis. However, everybody knows Truma Chutz La'aretz is not min HaTorah, it's Midraban. So if a goy went to give Truma Chutz La'aretz, we tell him, this is Gunish. So let's be Madai. Hartu Masib Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, Hartu Masib Aretz, Asura. It's Mashma only because it was in Chutz La'aretz. You see that the focus is on Chutz La'aretz because he says Chalas Eibichav even Ba'aretz. And Chumasai in Chutz La'aretz is Potter. Is the Chmashma, Hachumasai Ba'aretz would be Asura Umidamas. Freyti Yimara Vohaitana Di'om Mamiruach Eibichav Einoi Poiter. If you make that deal and you're saying that in Eretz Yisrael, in fact, it is effective Chumas Amasras, so you see that Meruach Eibichav does not Potter. It's like Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. But nevertheless, he says that Chala, even in Eretz Yisrael, Gilui Chavin is Poiter, is Poiter. So I see that it's not like you said previously, Rava, whoever holds Chayiv here, holds Chayiv there. Whoever holds Poiter there, holds Poiter there. No, we're making a specific distinction between the Truma of Eretz Yisrael, where it is effective, Meruach, Oivik Chavin is Chayiv, like Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda. But nevertheless, he holds by the Chala that you're Poiter. So it's basically the same question we're asking from two different prices, two different sources, both on Rava, the Chayda, good Gifrek. Everything, Martin, no, it's not a kasha whatsoever. Really, the two are exactly the same. And therefore, if you hold by Chala that you're Potter, Chalas Oivikachavim is Potter, you also hold the same thing that Miruach of an Oivikachavim is Potter. Ay, Shtei Tachdu, that you're Chayiv, I'll tell you why you're Chayiv. It's only midrabanon, and the gzeira mishum balekisim. Balekisim is a nice way of saying ashirim, people that have a lot of money in their pockets. Oh, those people in the pockets, we had to go and make a special gzeira. Now, what was the special gzeira all about? So Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat is, if you will, is an easier pshat. If you look at the last three lines of Rashi, lishnachrinam mishum balekisim, sheish len karkois harve. They, Baruch Hashem, are very wealthy. They have a lot of real estate, not apartment buildings or office buildings, but they have a lot of fields. And Baruch Hashem, they're making a lot of produce, and that's producing a lot of funds. The Chosim al Rov Masters. You know, if you're getting Baruch Hashem a million bushels, and you have to go and get produce in a year, and you're giving 10%, 100,000 bushels.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, a lot of dough. So what did they do? Yaknuhu le'oivdei kechavim. They're going to go and sell their field to the oivdei kechavim. In other words, for Hashem, it's now harvest season. Before even harvesting, we're going to go over to my local guy and say to the local guy, would you be interested in going and buying up all my fields and all of the harvest for whatever amount? And the guy says, sure, it sounds like a good deal to me. And then the guy goes and he does all of the malachas until we got to the miruach stage, and now it's totally finished in terms of the Gemar Malacha. And now the Jew calls him up on the phone and says, Johnny, I'd like to meet with you again. And he says, how much did you pay me for the whole thing over here? I paid you kach v'kach. I'll give you back the entire amount plus an extra $50. Are you willing to go and sell it back to me? The guy says, $50 not, but for an extra $100, it's worth my while. Yes, I'll do it. Sells it back, and now the Jew takes back all of it, and he had to spend for the whole thing $100. Guess what? Since the miruach was done by an oivdei kechavim, he won't have to give trumas and maasros anymore. And this is therefore going to become a classic annual harama to be able to get out of the din of trumas and maasros.
But isn't it depend on the question of kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Can a guy have a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael?
So let me ask you a question. Why don't you ask that question?
It's bothering me. It's bothering me, but I'm wondering, like, why is the Gemara going to address this? It seems like right now it's only midrabanan. I thought it's the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, it's kitchil shaita, kitchil as lavo, and the kinyan of a goy cannot mafkia the from trumas and maasros.
Well, the question about whether a kinyan can or cannot be mafkia, that's, of course, a sugya. We had it earlier in our Masechta as well. And the long toises here on Samach Vav and Mid Beis deals with that issue. The Yesh Kinyan, look at how he starts off, Tema, the Yesh Kinyan, the Ein Kinyan, made that in fact the Machloikis,
right,
the Gabi Miruach, not because the Gonchet says it twice,
right,
the rabbis, whether the Yesh Kinyan Lafkir or Ein Kinyan Lafkir.
Right.
So now you have two pieces of homework. You have the first choices here in Tzabach Zayin, and you have the second choices here in Tzabach Vav, both dealing with these issues. But after all of that is well and said, says the Gemara, the truth of the matter is that all of these Mishnayis which say that you're potter the Gabi Chala, that goes according to the two man, the Yomer, Bibyoisu, Reb Shimon, that hold the Gabi Miruach of Trumas and Maisers, a Goy is also potter. Didn't we make the Yukim from these two Brises that in fact you are Mechuyiv in Trumas and Maisers? That's Rabbana, because we don't want to incentivize people to go
cheat the Chita Levim.
Cheat the Kehanim and the
Levim. It's really Levim. 10% is 10%.
Very good.
You can't escape it.
Okay, so therefore, what they're going to do is just for a momentary period of time, for 5 minutes during the
Iraq. Park it in the hands of a guy and then take it back.
And take it back.
It's
similar in a sense.
It's a sale and purchase.
So therefore, says the Gemara, because of that gazeta, the people are going to go out of their way for this legal loophole that they're going to invent. They're not going to go and give Trumas and Maisers, and therefore, we had to put an end to it, and we said, Midrabban, and you have to go and give after all. Freik Timora, Yehochia Filichal and Ali. Why don't you say the Gabi Chala as well? Make such a gzeira that people, when they're going to be baking, they're not going to want to part with Chala, and therefore what they're going to do is they're going to go and sell it to the Goy for a moment period of time when he's going to do all the kneading, and after he's finished the kneading, we're going to go over to him, hey, you did such a great job, I give you $5 for all of your labor and all your efforts, will you take it? Give me back the dough. Yeah, I'll give it back the dough, $5. Nope. So they're going to do the same thing, Gabi Chala Nami. Zok to Yomara, Chala, I don't have to go and make a gzeira, because there are legal loopholes which I really have no control over. And that is, Efshe de'ofi lo pochis mechameshes revoim kemach ve'oit. In other words, we said before that there's a minimum. That minimum is, we said, Omer Aleph, Isaschem. And today they say, for instance, it means 5 pounds of flour. That's how the Rabbanim usually pass
that's
today.
That's Isaron, no? The 42 egg?
Yeah,
exactly.
43.2 eggs.
Right, exactly right, Isaron. So now what happens if a person says, I'm only going to go and bake 4.9 pounds of flour, not 5 pounds. Oh, and you don't have to give chali, you don't have to make a brocha, you don't have to make mafresh. Oh, you can eat. Oh, wonderful. So I don't need to come on to go and selling it to Goyim and have the Goyim do it and then buy it back in a gansarama. I have a much easier eitzah. Every time that I bake, I'll make sure I take the 5 pounds of flour, leave over a drop in the bag, and only use 4.9, and therefore won't have a problem.
But also you can solve the argument that it's not worth a lot of money, it's not worth it.
That's another good argument, because Rashi said on the bottom, the reason why it's chosim or roiv masim.
It's because of Bakistan, they're wealthy people, and they want to hold on to their wealth.
Yeah, for sure.
Allah is a piece of bread.
Exactly.
It's a kazayas of dough. It's
from dough.
Anyway, the point is, we don't need to come on to special gazetas and takonas, because it's an easy way out,
if you
legally, not to have to give challah, just make smaller quantities. Nochelzach. So freitimor yet nu truma. If that's the case, then truma nami efshir. I also have other legal loopholes, and I don't need to come on to exeter. What are the legal loopholes by truma? The avul akraboishi dem raboishi amarim odem al tvoasei umachnisa b'moid shula kedeshatei behemto yoicheles b'turim and amaisa. There is a chiyuv, even though there's a miruach where you did the smoothing out of all of the grain and all the products and produce and everything else, it still is not mechuyev and trumas and maisers until it's roye pnei habayis. When you bring it home, you bring it into your barn, you bring it into your granary or whatever you normally do with your grain after you've done miruach, it's got to be roye pnei habayis. What happens if you bring it b'moitz shelo? B'moitz means still with its shell on and you haven't taken it off. So it hasn't been a full miruach. So even though you're bringing it home as if it's finished product, it really is not a finished product, because once you get it into the roye pnei habayis, then people are still going to have to labor over to get the chaff and the straw out of it, because it still has its shell on. So therefore, it's not going to become mechuyev in trumas and maisers until it gets into the house, but it's never going to be roye pnei habayis in that form, because he still had the shell on. Oh, so this is a way of getting around
or
having
bring it through the window or the roof.
That's the next one.
I still have a
shot. Inami, or I have another Eitze. The Ayala, Derech Kagos, Derech Karfifois, and
Haruba.
Exactly. So you don't go in through the front door. It's not really a Pnei Abayis. Right. It sees the back. It sees the basement. It sees the Ruba on the top. And it goes through the Gag, skylight, all of those. So therefore you have, once again, legal loopholes that you don't have to give Trumas HaMaisos. That being the case, I don't need to institute a special gzeira that every single time you hand it over to the Goy, it's M'chuy Medraban. You're not going to hand it over to the Goy. If you don't want to pay Trumas HaMaisos, you're going to go through the back door, you're going to go through the basement, you're going to bring a helicopter on top of the Gag. So there are ways of getting around it. Everything more. No. It wasn't necessary to institute this type of gzeira by Tvor, because Hosem B'Fehesia Zila Bein Milza. When you're talking about bringing all of this grain, all of this produce home, if anybody's going to go and do that with Moitshala still in its shells, in its husks, and or they're going to go and bring it there, Gagos, there, Kafifois, people are going to say, I know why he's doing it. Johnny, the billionaire,
he's a cheapskate.
He's a cheapskate. He doesn't want to give the Levium their dues, and so therefore, what does he do? Oh, you have to go and put on a gzeira on him. However, the person who is baking in his or her kitchen and they're doing 4.9 pounds of flour instead of 5.
No one knows.
And am I visiting their kitchen to see if they put in 5? And even if I do visit their kitchen, do I know that they're 5 pounds of flour or 4.9? Doesn't. You can't really tell the difference between one and the other. So therefore, it was not necessary to go and make the gzeira. But here, you did have to make the gzeira. And that's why it's not shver on Rava. So Rava could tak be 100% right. Those that are machmer in all cases, both by the miruach, trumas amaisus, as by the chal, by the gilgalisha. Yeah. Those that are mekel and say the apotre could hold it apotre by both. From these two braises, it suggests that you're chayv on one and potre on the other. That's because of gzeira midraban.
Sometimes we say that something is... if people were to see it, they would think such and such, therefore we make a gzeira.
Right.
Here we're not saying that. Here we're saying, no, it's betzina, no one cares, or no one could do anything about it anyway, so we don't make a gzeira. Mm-hmm. It feels inconsistent.
Whenever it comes to gzeiras to Rabbanan, it's hard to ask from one on the other, because Rabbanan decided where there was a need in the community.
So it's a shkiach thing. It's really empirical, okay.
Yijokta Mishnah, we are finally moving along on the Korban HaOmer. We started off that Matzah Yom Tov, according to the Baisusim, Matzah Shabbos, they had to do the Ktsira, and then they had to go and ask everybody, is the
Kupazu, Magalzu,
as well as the Rechashecha, is it Shabbazu, all of that. And then after that they processed it, and we will manap it 13 times, and we're ready to bring the Korban HaOmer. And the previous Mishnah, which we just focused on, says, what do I do with all the remaining flour? Okay, I'll go be poided, we'll use it, and Machloikis, Tanakama, and Rabbi Kiva, whether you do have to give Maisa, Nish give Maisa, well, that's wonderful. But let's get back to our Korban HaOmer. Bolo Yisarn, after did the 13 Napa, 13 siftings, I have my Yisarn, I'm ready to bring my Korban HaOmer. Nosan Olav Shamnoi, Ulav Vainosoi, Yotzak, Ubolal. So now, he's telling that this halacha really applies to any Korban Mincha, but certainly to the Korban Mincha Sa'oimah. That there are three times that you put in Shemen. The Lashon of the Mishnah is not precise. The Nosan Olav doesn't mean that you put Shemen on top of the Isaren, but you put initially Shemen into the Kli, and then you pour in your Isaren of flour. Then you pour in more Shemen, and you do your Belila. Belila means you mix it. And finally you do your yitzika, meaning whatever is left of the oil, then you pour in at the end. So the three times you pour in oil altogether, one inside the kli, one at the time of the bila, and one time of finally yitzika.
And then you put the lavona after that?
Typically, yeah. And we're going to learn more about this mitchum daf ayin hay. We're going to have mishnayos that are going to deal with the order by your regular karmen. So he does all of that. And now, this is of course unusual, agave, the oimer, heinif. You have to go and do a tenufa. It's unusual in the sense that your normal regular karban mincha does not require tenufa, but this one does. You remember a few days ago we had a mishnah. Yes,
tenufa,
these are
some
of the both, only one. Yeah, exactly. So you'd have a tenufa over here. And the higish, you do now your hagosha. Hagosha, as we've had already many times, the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, you take your mizrach and you just have it give it a little touch. And you're done now with your Hagosha. After the Hagosha, the Kohen goes and takes the Kemitza with the three fingers. The Hikler is a Makter on top of the Mizbeach. Vashar and the Shirai, the Nechal Kahan. All very, very, very straightforward. Now the Mishnah tells us, if you will, a Masa Shahaya. Mishikarav Oimer, once they brought the Karmah Oimer in the base of English, Yoitzin, the Kahanim would go after the Avoid is concluded. They're going home to go and have their Sudas Yomtiv. And Umoitzin Shukir Yerushalayim, Shehumolai Kemach Koli, they find that in the marketplace of Yerushalayim, you have stands which are set up, all full of the Kemach Koli, that's the flower of the Chodosh, of the brand new Tvua. I just brought the Karban Oimer a moment ago, and all these stands are ready, full,
ready to go.
Ready to go. Everybody, Shnell, go and take the Kemach Koli. Says Remeh, this is Shaloi Bertzen Chacham. The Chachamim were not happy about that. Tivri Remeh. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Bertzen Chacham, you know. The Rabbana had no problem with it.
Eating it is not is the problem, not selling it, not stocking it.
Okay.
Well, so, maybe they worked on Yontif.
No, but they were terribly on Tif. They opened the store for Stechol Moed, and they opened up their inventory.
Okay. So now, first of all, we should realize, although the Mishnah is not referring to that, that there is a problem of cutting any tvua before cutting the oimer. Why? Because this is supposed to be reishis tzirai, the very first tzira oimer, katzir of the new season, is supposed to be the tziras oimer. After you finish the tziras oimer, then you can talk about all the other tvua. The assumption in our Mishnah is not that they quickly cut and harvested right after the cutting of the oimer, but rather, how did they go and cut the tvua? If in fact you're telling me that Ktsiras Oimer has to be the reishis, the very first katsir. So Agmar doesn't address it, the Mefarshim address it, and you'll see the addressing of the Mefarshim is based on the Gemara, which we're going to learn in another minute or two, on the Omid Aleph, that there are exceptions to the rule. What are the exceptions to the rule? Exception number one is that although you're not allowed to do any other Ktsira before Ktsiras Oimer, you're allowed to go and do a kituf. What means kituf? The Pasuk says, V'katafta melilois biyadcha. Katafta means that you go and uproot the tzvua with your hands. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking a sickle, you take your two hands and you pull it out of the ground.
You pluck it, and you yank it.
I don't have to tell you that this is a much more laborious type of thing. Instead of just cutting one sickle and going to cut Ichwai's 10 stalks standing at one time, each one you got to pull out and you have to schlep it.
The old grain was getting scarce, so prices were very, very high. So this was a dover of it. The problem also is it's Illinois, but it's a dover of it situation because that price is not going to last.
Okay.
So if you don't rush to market now, it's gone. The price is gone.
Okay. Anyway, but the point is that there's at least one heter to go and cut the tvua, but not cutting it in the traditional sense, but by uprooting it. And that you can go and do already from Erev Yontif. You didn't have to wait until the first day of Chol HaMoed. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara is going to tell us shortly, based on a Mishnah, which we're going to have in another few days, that when it comes to the Karban Oimer, you can only take it from triple A barley. If it was triple C barley, that was disqualified, you couldn't bring it. Ah, so the Gemara will give us an example, Mishnah will give us an example in a few days, and a Beis HaShlochan, a Beis HaShalchan. What's a Beis HaShalchan? It was very, very dry, arid karka. You had to go and bring water from elsewhere to go and moisten it, and the product that came out of that type of field was very inferior, and therefore it could not be used for the Karban Oimer. Since it's not used for Karban Oimer, you're allowed to go and cut that before Yom Tov, and this doesn't violate the rule of Ktsiras Oimer has to be the first.
But when the Shukr Yerushalayim was it full of barley? Was it full of chitin?
It was full of very, very low quality barley, and as well as chitin.
Okay.
And normally you could not go and cut this before, but since it's low quality, it's off the radar screen. You can go and sell it.
If you don't pray good, there's no rain.
That you have to pray. That's why we say every single day. Right. Talmud Tavrocha, 100% right. So now, what was Shulei B'Tzon Chacham? Shulei B'Tzon Chacham is the Chacham were afraid that if you're going to go and cut the barley, even if you're doing it by uprooting it, even if you're taking by inferior, you know what you might do? Whilst you're doing it, this really looks good. You're going to put it into your mouth and you're going to chew.
The psoriasis. That's not meaningful.
Can't do that.
No, if you just, I mean, it's even your we have somebody's harvesting.
Please take a look at this first wide line of the Rashi down below. When they leave the Beis Hamikdash, they brought the carbon.
When you're harvesting,
why were they upset about Shleiber Tzin Chacham? Because Rinan Shem Yoichal Kishe Yiktzar VeYoichal Chodesh Koydem Oimer. He's in the middle of cutting. He's very hungry. He says, this looks like a nice plum kernel.
My ox is eating, why can't I?
He wants to eat it as well, and he's going to start eating it before the Oimer. And so therefore, the Chacham saw that they had cut so much Tvua, and therefore you have so much grain, or so much flour being sold here in Yerushalayim, is the chasimin that they did a lot of cutting, and there's got to be at least one or two workers that didn't know what he was doing and was putting some of that money, some of that stuff into their mouths. It's chodosh. Oy, oy, oy. That's why the chamu were upset. Reb Yehuda says, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried that they're going to go and eat. And now that, says the Gemara, is the basis of a stira, Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda. Frank Gemara, v'lei goz Reb Yehuda dom asa l'meichel minei. Isn't Rabbi Yehuda concerned about that the person absentmindedly is going to put something in his mouth and eat something which is aser or a minu? And now we talk about Erev Pesach. Oh, another couple of weeks, Rabbi Yisai. What does it say? Even less than 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from day is already Pesach. Or a minu, achamrei nakash, Rabbi Yehuda oimer, boikin yor boidik 3 times for chomet. Boikin or arba aser. That means the night before, like you all know. Uba ba'aser shachris, as well as in the morning. Ubishas a beer, right before a beer chametz, go and do one last checking to make sure that there's no chametz left. As they Rabbi Yehuda, no. Leibadak, if you didn't boidik the third time, do not go and be boidik anymore. Because I'm afraid that you're going to put something into your mouth and you're going to be over on eating chametz. Remember that the zman of achilas chametz precedes the Zman of Sreifas Chametz, or Beer Chametz, like the Gemara called it. And so therefore, if you didn't do your final Bedika in the right time to the Chametz, you know what? I'm very, very nervous that you're going to go and put something in your mouth. So don't be Boidik anymore. Now, the Loshen HaGemara is not as precise as you might have expected, because we're talking about not only being boidik for chametz prior to Pesach, but even being boidik chametz on Pesach itself. Because after all, I want to make sure they don't have chametz. So, can I go and be boidik my third time if I didn't, the Chum say, if he didn't go boidik the third time in the morning, by chatzois time, by manas reifas chametz, say the Chum then, yivdoik even after that. In other words, you're coming to the Seder, and the husband says to the wife, or the wife says to the husband, before we start the Seder, you know, we never did our third Bedikah. Let's do a Bedikah right now. I don't have time. We'll do it tomorrow, Mi'at Hashem, after Musaf when we come home. Okay, we'll do it tomorrow. Say the Chum, yes, that's what you should do. You should go and do it. And the Rabbi Yehuda says, no, don't do that. Don't do it tomorrow. Now, what's the basis of the Machlokes? The basis of the Machlokes is, if and when they find Chametz during Yontif, what are we going to do with it? Mm-hmm. Says Rabbi Yehuda, don't be boidik another time. Chamoira, he's going to find a piece of chametz. Shem yimtza gluska yefefia. He said, this Danish, this really looks good, this cookie. And he puts it in his mouth. Oy, boy, it's Pesach, and I had chametz. So therefore, the Yehuda says, don't be boidik again. And the chametz said, if you weren't boidik the third time, be boidik even on Yontif itself. So what do I see? I see l'chor esti Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. And our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda was not worried that he's going to go and put chodesh in his mouth. He saw all of these stands full of kemach. Well, there's a couple of lines. Maybe somebody, come on, nobody's going to eat from the chodesh. I'm not worried. And here when it comes to the chametz, he's very much worried. Frank Timur, I don't have a steer of a legos Rabbi Yehuda to Nassel Mechel Minay. And for Timur, Omer Rabbah. Shani chodesh mitesh lehitart loy el ayyidei kituf zocharu. Here we have a built-in safeguard. What's a built-in safeguard? How can you go and do the ktsira? So we explained before, you can do the ktsira, ayyidei kituf, by schlepping it out. So now whilst he's schlepping it out, you think he's going to go and take one of the kernels of wheat and put it in his mouth, he's going to start eating. He's going to remember automatically, why am I doing this craziness of instead of taking a sickle and cutting, I'm plucking out each one individually. It's taking me 12 times the amount of time, and I'm worn out because I have to struggle to pull and uproot and schlep and da 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 da. He's going to remember that this is Chodesh. He's not going to even have a slightest
habit. It's also tevel. It's also tevel, isn't it? I mean, if you're plucking it out,
you can eat tevel. Derech aroi.
That's what I was referring to before. Then, so okay, so it isn't it. Well, so we're talking about eating kemach in the shuk or eating.
He's talking now b'shas.
Kitov. Okay.
Frank Timor Amalei Abaye Tenach Ktira. That's very good. B'shas the Ktira means b'shas the Kitov. He remembers. Right. But after that, you take it to the granary, and what do? You do your tchina. You do the grinding in the mill. Var kodem, do your sifting. At that time, make a lemeve. Now there is no zecher lemikdash, so to speak, because it looks like all other grain that you are milling and that you're grinding and that you're sifting.
Sure.
So he could go and forget and put something into his mouth. So you see, in Abaye, nevertheless, not Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, nevertheless, is not concerned about it. But Rabbi Yehuda b'legabe the chometz, he was concerned. I have another eitzah to give him a zecher zocheru. That is, when you do the tchina, don't take it to the normal mill where you have these huge water mills or windmills. You have to go and grind it with a richai diyoda, your own private little hand mill that you use at home. When you're doing that hand mill, you immediately remember, this is the chodosh, and that's the reason why I'm not doing it in the big mill, and it's going to take me 12 times as long, and I'm going to have to go and stir and schlep and all that. So that's what we call a rechaim diyad. That will give him also a zecher. Or the harkod al gapi napa. Gapi napa means instead of putting the flour into the sieve like you normally would, you take the sieve and turn it upside down. And you put the flour into the sieve upside down.
Yes, it's a hecker.
It's certainly a hecker. When a normal person goes and takes the sieve upside down,
it's inefficient.
It's inefficient, and probably a lot of it falls to the ground and all that. And it's a lot of dust from the flour. Whatever. But the point is, this is another zecher, so you don't have to worry. But that's why Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, you have nothing to worry about. At the time of the Ktzira, we did a Kituv. At the time of the Tchina, Rechaim Diyad. At the time of our Kodah, we did it upside down. So there are so many zechers. Frank Timura, Beis HaShlochan, the Sharia Ktzira, we know we have that second exception to the rule, that if the Beis HaShalchan, where the Tvua comes out inferior, there you're allowed to do Ktzira. The Nan Shetach Lamishna, Koitzim Beis HaShalchan, Shema Mokim, Avaloi Goitzim. The reason why you're allowed to be Koitzim, says Rashi, since it's a Sodi of Asia, you cannot use it for purposes of the Oymer, and therefore you're allowed to cut there normally with the irregular sickle, even before the Ktzir Oymer, because it's not really for the Oymer. Avale Goychim don't make a whole pile out of it until after the Korban Oymer was brought. So here, Michael Maimon, what is the Zecher over here? You're cutting in the base of Shalchan today the same way that you would cut it any other day of the year.
You forget yourself,
and you might put something in your mouth. I see their beauty is not Choyshish. Why over here in our Mishnah? Ela Omer Abaye, Chodosh Bodel Minei, Chometz Le Bodel Minei. Says Abaye, have a very, very simple teretz. Chodosh, how long have I not been eating Chodosh? The whole year, because in fact there was no Chodosh until now, he only had Yoshan. If somebody's going to say, oh, I have a brand new Kemach that was just produced yesterday because you just harvested last week. Mister, that's Chodesh. It's Ketubish Esen. I got away a little after the Korban Oymer. Everybody remembers that. But Chomes the Bodlani until 5 minutes before Pesach, not 5 minutes, but until a few hours before Pesach, I was still eating cereal in the morning. I was still eating a bagel with lox. I was still washing on bread. So therefore, you're so used to eating the Chomes. If you're going to go and tell them that the first day of Pesach, 24 hours later, if you find a shtickle Danish, you might come to eat from it. Taka le bodel minei, says Rabbi Yehuda, taka noivis, that the person by mistake is going to be up. And therefore, if you didn't do your final bedika by 12 o'clock, don't
stay away.
Stay away. Don't even think about going and finding and looking for chametz. So that was teretz number one. Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda kasha, Rabbanu loy kasha. The same kasha that he asked the stira of Rabbi Yehuda, you can ask the stira of the Rabban on the Rambaran, or Rameir on Rameir. What is the stira? In fact, the stira is even worse now. What it means, it's even worse. According to the Svar of Rabbi Yehuda, when do I say that a person is bodel minei when it comes to the chametz? And yet, the chacham say, you can keep on looking, I'm not worried, he's going to go and eat from it. However, what did the Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah? The Gabe Chodosh, you don't have to worry a person can eat from it, because you're always concerned about Chodosh the whole year, you're always so careful enough. So when it comes to Chodosh, Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, there I'm very, very nervous about the mistake you're going to put something in your mouth, even though the person is so nizar from Chodosh. But by Chometz, I'm not worried about that. He's not going to go and take Chometz after all. Chometz 365 days a year, except for Pesach. So, as far as a punk faket, zeh shver on the Chachamim, why by Unz in the Mishnah, I say, this is terrible that you have all this kemach. Maybe somebody ate from it. Nobody's going to eat from it. It's Chodosh. Yeah, you never know the people. When it comes to Chometz, keep on checking even in the middle of Yom Tov, because you don't have to worry people are going to eat. You don't have to worry. People eat Chometz all the time. Around. So the Chometz punk for kids is a kal v'choim ben penoy shul kal v'choim. Zog the Gemara. Zom Rav the Bira Bino Lekasha. Oh, so he asked, the Rabbanu Lekasha. Lekasha. Elom Rav. The Bira Bino Lekasha Kirishanim. Same terms as we gave. The Rabbanu Utsu Lekasha. Because who? Atzim Chazer Olav Esorfay. Meichel Ochel Minei. After all, during Yom Tov, when a person is collecting the chametz, why is he collecting chametz? To eat from it? Because he wants to go and burn it. So he knows that that's his whole mission and that's his whole tafkid over here. So he's going to go and put it in his mouth. I'm not allowed to. That's why I'm collecting, because I want to be uviarto rami kibecha. I want to get rid of this chametz once and for all. I didn't have a chance on Erev Yom Tov to do my third bidika. That's why I'm going to eat from it. When I see that chametz, I'm going to fool. Get up. So the chayra, that's a good tent. Rav Ashi Omar, Ashi says, I have nukhatat. Derbuta, derbuta lekasha, kemach koli tanat. So what means kemach koli? Says Rashi, kemach koli, which is toasted kemach, and flour. Says Rashi, ein ru'uyin lachila. En kemach shalonu. In other words, this is not your normal standard kemach. This is kemach that you already roasted, and therefore presumably it's very hard, it's not comfortable, whatever. People don't go and chew and eat kemach kali. So therefore, that's why in Amisha said, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not worried, nobody's going to eat the kemach kali. So Timur Bahadur Ravashi, Barusi, or Bedusi, this terrace we just had, Ravashi, that's shver attacks. It's a mistake. Why? Teinach mi kali ve'eilach, ad kali ma'ikal ve'eimer. You're right, now this flour has been toasted. But before it was toasted, it was flour. You had to put the flour into an oven, into maybe that ebook that we spoke about yesterday that had the holes in it with the sieve, and then it was going to toast it. But until that point, it was regular kemach. And so therefore, we have to be noivis that the person ate it before it became kemach koli, when it was still just kemach alone. Yet the Amishah said, no, it's fine, it's no problem, nothing to worry about. Maybe someone. Maybe we're talking about a situation that during the Ktsira it wasn't your normal cutting, but it was a plucking out and uprooting with your hand, like Rabbi said on the bottom of the Amid Beis. What are you going to go and say in Beis HaShalchan over there? It was not Ayyadei Kitav. You were cutting it normally, and at that time somebody may have put into his mouth. So you're going to say, yeah, but this on the Shuki Rishalayim that was full of Kemach Koli. Mazel tov. Now nobody's going to eat from it because this toasted flour doesn't have any tam. It's too hard. It's too brittle. Whatever. Sinish batam. But from the time of the kitzur and the beis shalchan until now, I got a problem. People might have eaten from it. Why did Yehuda say it was b'tzoyin chachomim? We're going to stay with the two terutzim of Abai and Rava. That the Gabri Yehuda read like Kasha. What's the teretz? Because when it comes to Chodesh Badal Minei, Chometz like Badal Minei, and vis-a-vis the Rabbanan, we're going to come on to the same teretz. The person is looking with a mission to destroy the Chometz.
He's not going
to
eat it.
He's not going to go and eat it because that's the direct to the 360
degrees. The whole Kavana is to
exactly. Get rid, not to go. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Have a great, good Chodesh, and a Mi'achim to be continued tomorrow morning, regular time. Kol Tov, one and all.